Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Manappuram Finance Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this call, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Darwin. We have with us today the senior management team of Manappuram Finance to discuss the conference call to discuss the Q3 FY25 results. I'll briefly introduce the management team. We have with us today Mr. V.P. Nandakumar, MD and CEO, Dr. Sumitha Nandan, Executive Director, Ms. Bindu A. L., CFO, Mr. Raju Narayanan, Business Head, Mr. B.N. Raveendra Babu, MD, Asirvad Microfinance, Mr. Rajesh Namboodiripad, CFO, Asirvad Microfinance, Mr. Kamal Parmar, Head of Vehicle and Equipment Finance, Mr. Suveen P.S., CEO, Manappuram Home Finance, Mr. Robin Karuvely, CFO, Manappuram Home Finance. With that brief introduction, I think I will hand it over to Mr. Nandakumar and the senior management team of Manappuram Finance for their opening remarks, post which we will open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Okay. So thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is always a pleasure to join with this group to share our company's periodical financial result for the third quarter of FY25. I wish and my heartfelt thanks to all of you. Before presenting, I wish you upcoming Holi festival. Despite global uncertainties and continued strengthening of the dollar, the Indian economy remains strong and resilient. In the words of Finance Minister, it is on a speedy rebound. It is also noteworthy that the NBFC sector has remained stable despite the challenges. NBFCs are also actively diversifying their funding sources, including increased issuance of listed non-convertible debentures and foreign currency borrowings. This indicates the resilience of the sector and its ability to withstand macroeconomic headwinds. Quarterly results. It also gives me great satisfaction to mention that 2025 has started on a positive note for our company, with RBI lifting the supervisory restrictions on our major subsidiary, Asirvad Microfinance Limited. The remedial actions undertaken by Asirvad have satisfied the RBI. The company has fully revamped its processes and systems and is fully committed to adhering to regulatory guidelines. I am pleased to report that the company has posted a profit after tax, excluding Asirvad, of 467 crores. The company's AUM, excluding Asirvad, has risen to 34,204 crores, reflecting 18.7% year-on-year growth and 1.9% quarter-on-quarter increase. For Q3, Asirvad's AUM stood at 10,013 crores, which includes gold loan AUM of 818 crores and net NPA at 2.48%. Asirvad's profitability has been affected by the collection challenges in the MFI sector due to several factors, including climatic disruptions, dilution of joint liability group, JLG model, weakened borrower discipline, and external influences on microfinance borrowers. Asirvad has underwritten comprehensive remedial measures undertaken, comprehensive remedial measures to rationalize the costs and the disbursement with strict underwriting. As Ashirvad was aware, we lost 188 crores during this quarter. The consolidated profit after tax for the quarter declined to 278 crores, which is down by 51.3% quarter on quarter and 51.6% year on year. It is also pertinent to note that with RBI, in a circular dated 30th September 24, issued certain directions including regarding gold loan practices. We view these regulatory measures as beneficial for the sector stability. Through our industry association, we are actively participating in the development of standard practices. We have executed the mandated review policies and implemented necessary enhancements to our operation. The vehicle finance business has an AUM of 5,085 crores, recording a 4.9% quarter-on-quarter increase, while our home loan portfolio has increased an AUM. It has an AUM of 1,778 crores, reflecting 5.1% quarter-on-quarter increase. The organized gold loan market, comprising both banks and NBFCs, has experienced significant growth. According to the rating agency CRA, the market is projected to reach 15 trillion rupees by March 2027. Companies have also been steadily increasing their online lending practices, and a sustained scale up will improve their operating leverage and expand their customer base. Thank you all for your continued support and interest. Our focus will be on fortifying our core gold loan business and ensuring continued growth across all the secured lending business as we capitalize on opportunities created by India's economic resilience and positive reforms. We remain dedicated to our vision of empowering customers and stakeholders alike through prudent, sustainable growth and innovation. For a more comprehensive review of our financial performance, I now hand over the floor to our CFO, Mrs. Bindu A.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for the discussion on our financial results for the last quarter and 9 months ended December 2024. Our consolidated AUM was rupees 44,217 crores, down by 3.3% sequentially and 9.5% YOY. The decline is, as explained by sir, is on account of the challenges in our subsidiary Ashirvad Microfinance. If we exclude the Ashirvad portfolio, the growth is 1.9% sequentially and 18.7% YOY growth. That also with the help of the growth in the gold loan portfolio. Profitability 278 crores for the quarter, which was down by 51%. But if we exclude the Ashirvad losses, the Q1Q decline is only 2.4%. ROE 8.9% and ROA was 2.2%. And our leverage is currently 2.9 times. Our standalone NPA 2.46% versus 2.42 during the previous quarter. Cash and cash equivalents, rupees 4,592 crore. And undrawn bank line was rupees 2,524 crore. CP exposure 1% in the standalone entity, and our subsidiaries do not have CP exposure. Standalone borrowing cost has gone up by 6 basis points during the quarter. We have raised fresh term loans during the quarter and the liquidity position is comfortable. Gold loan business, the proportion improved to 55.4% of consolidated AUM compared to 53.3%, an improvement of 2% compared to the earlier quarter. Consolidated gold loan AUM rupees 24,504 crore, 0.6% Q on Q, but the standalone entity could achieve a 1.9% Q on Q growth and 18.8% YOY growth. We were able to add 3.3 lakh new customers and the outstanding number of customers stood at 24.66 lakhs. LTV at 60%, online book 79% of the total book. And the standalone PAT was rupees 453 crore, which is slightly down sequentially and up by 5.8% YOY. The decline was on account of a higher provision arising from the from one of the corporate borrower and a lower DA income compared to the earlier quarter. Coming to microfinance business, AUM at rupees 10,013 crore, including gold loan of rupees 818 crore, down by 17.6% Q on Q and 13.4% YOY. Loss rupees 188 crore versus profit of rupees 75 crore. CRAR at 23%. Vehicle finance AUM of rupees 5085 crore, which is up by 4.9% Q on Q and 41.4% YOY growth. And the GNPA increased to 5.2%. The vehicle finance AUM comprises of commercial vehicle, which is 48%, and passenger vehicle 31%, and two-wheeler 15%, and farm equipment of 6%. Home loan business, rupees 1,778 crore, AUM as on 31st December, which is up by 5.1% Q on Q and 25.7% YOY growth. Number of branches 89, and they reported a profit of rupees 7 crore during the quarter. GNP at 3.86, and the home loan AUM comprises of home loan 71 and LAP of 29%. Loan to MSME and allied activities at rupees 3001 crore with a disbursement of rupees 356 crore. On lending AUM at rupees 653 crore, the disbursement only rupees 5 crore during the quarter. Capital position is strong with a CRAR of 29.88%, and the company's net worth rupees 12,776 crore. The book value as on 31st December rupees 150.94. Thank you. Now we can go for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. First is on the growth front, on the gold loan business. So while I understand that the Aashirvad bit of gold loan business may have seen some challenges, on our standalone book, our gold loan has slightly slowed this quarter versus the last couple of quarters. How much of it does it have to do with competition coming back into this space? Because some of the peers have reported, whether in banks or NBFCs, have reported much stronger numbers. And what is our outlook on the standalone gold book for the coming quarter or for FY26 as well? That's my first question. Sir, and on the second question, I wanted to understand what has been the provision coverage on stage 3. I know you've taken about 400 crores of technical write-off, but if you can help us with provision coverage on stage 3, that will be useful. Thank you.
So the gold loan, that used to be little slow. That quarter used to be little slow because of festivals, etc., etc. We expect the gold loan to grow at a rate of 15%-20%, and it will be that is the expectation for the future. This is earlier we were telling about 10%-12%, and now we believe that around 15%-20% is possible because more customers are coming in, and we see some increase in the ticket size, etc., going forward. So this is we see the opportunity for gold loan growth. Quarter to quarter, there may be some difference. Regarding the second part, Bindu can answer.
Yeah. So the question on the Asirvad provision coverage, stage three will be 59%. 59%.
And ma'am, what was it last quarter, the stage three?
It will.
55%.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've taken about 4% increase over there. And what about the standard asset provision? How much has that moved on Asirvad book?
Standard assets provision, stage two will be having?
It was 14%.
14%, and stage one will have 1.2.
And how much was the 14% and 1.2 last quarter?
Similar.
That is, yeah, similar.
Okay, got it. And okay, so this answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta from Elara. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. So if I look at gold tonnage, both sequentially and year-on-year, it has declined. So clearly, that is outcome of also gold price increase and festival season in the quarter gone by. But then what gives you confidence going forward to resume growth at 15%-20%? Because both the branches as well as customers have sort of are lurching. So the productivity gains are going to be lower in the interim periods at least, right? That's the first question. And just the allied question to that, so what is the RBI communication now in terms of opening of gold branches? So I'm not talking about MFI-led gold or MFI branches, the standalone gold branches. That's the question. And second, so just coming back to the bit of first participant question, so you have technical write-offs of 400-odd crores, right, this particular quarter. So just a data-keeping question, what was this number previous quarter and a year ago, corresponding quarter a year ago? Thank you.
See, regarding tonnage growth or decline, all depend on the gold price. See, when the higher number amount is available with a lower quantity, people will bring only lower quantity. They borrow for meeting their requirement and not because there is gold value is higher, LTV is high. They don't borrow like this. See, one thing which you should appreciate is gold loans without any compulsion, even without sending any SMS or anything, within 3-4 months, almost 70%-80% of the loans are getting redeemed. So when somebody pledges their gold, they have some clear anticipation of their forthcoming cash flow. Only on the basis of that, they borrow. So you will see when the gold price goes down also, you can see growth at the same at that point of time, you can see the growth, tonnage growth higher. So this is simply because of the function of the LTV, gold value. And regarding RBI permission of opening the branches, yeah, today we had a meeting. I am in Mumbai because we had a meeting with RBI governor. Larger NBFCs were invited, and I had the opportunity to raise this question to the governor, and also I had a in the forum and the outside also during lunch time I had discussed with him and deputy governor. Only the governor also wondered why only for gold loan companies this restriction is. He said, I don't see any reason. He asked the deputy governors to examine, and there is no genuine reason, remove that branch opening restriction only for gold loan company. And after that, I had the opportunity to discuss with senior officials, and they were positive, and they asked us to resubmit application. This is where it is. This is in the open discussion we had when the meeting was invited by the RBI governor to understand the challenges of the company. We explained to him, I explained to him how this can help in weeding away customers from usurious lenders, etc., which was appreciated. I hope we'll get permission for opening branches without much delay. Then the other part, Bindu can answer.
Yeah. For Q2 class, this Q2 it was 40, and previous Q3 it was nil. We did not do any write-off in the previous Q3.
In the corresponding quarter last year?
Yeah, that was nil. That was nil.
Okay. And as well in Q2? Q2 FY25?
40.
40.
Okay, okay. So coming back, sorry, I'm just harping on the same thing. So coming back to the first question, the first point which you made, so it's understandable that in a price rise scenario, tonnage would look lower. And like you rightly pointed out, you have been communicating with RBI for acquiring the branch opening approvals, which is very positive. But in the interim period, so as we move ahead, say in Q4 and Q1, what brings the confidence to put up a 15-20% growth? Thank you.
Is annual growth in some quarters because of the demand from the target audience, it grows because, for example, sowing season or school college admission, etc., etc. Then harvest season, etc., etc. It goes down, etc., etc. But we believe that 15-20% is possible, and this year also we expect to get around, to grow around 15%. That's the expectation. It is all dependent on the demand only, not because of the coal price, as it is mistakenly the impression of the markets.
Understood, sir. Fair point. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Sir, firstly, you spoke about, RBI directions on, gold loan practices. And then you said that we've also responded and we've done some enhancements in process, in operations. Can you elaborate on any specific changes that we would have implemented on the ground, from, say, December or January?
This was a discussion point by the major companies in the gold loan sector today with RBI governor and deputy governor. So they promised
this is a question on the 30th September circular. Can I answer for that? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the 30th September circular, Two important points. One is the LTV monitoring and the other thing on rolling over of the pledges, the repledge, etc. So on the LTV monitoring at the specific LTV ratios, we are sending SMS letters, etc. And there will be an accelerated option. That is the one change we have implemented. And during the tenure of gold loan, the rollovers with partial servicing of interest, that is also we have introduced. And beyond the maturity, repledges only with the full repayment, repayment of interest. So these are the changes we have implemented. Then NBUs, we are capturing in the pawn ticket more clearly acknowledged by the borrower. These are the 3-4 points applicable to NBFCs which we have implemented.
Okay. On the top of that, I want to add a few more things. So some of the practical challenges in the proposal has been discussed with the governor and the team today. He said that we are consulting with you. Then on the basis of this, understanding the practical challenges and the customer's face, etc., we will come out with a draft guideline. We can have another round of discussion. It appeared that the governor is very positive, the RBI setup today is very positive, and we expect positive outcomes.
Got that. And in the standalone company, the other OPEX has increased Q on Q. Any particular reason why the non-employee expenses have gone up by 7-8%?
We had some unsecured loans which we have stopped in the past, like a digital personal loan which we have stopped already. And some MSMB lending, which we have already stopped. The past buying up, and we have completely moved to secured lending in the standalone entity. About the numbers, Bindu can share.
So the OPEX has gone up around 7-8 crore because of the employee cost. And the other one, in the admin expenditure, it is on account of the increased IT costs, the cloud usage, etc. There is some over usage and we paid some extra amount. And a lot of automation is also happening. So our change request, that expense is also gone up. So that is the...
Sure. Just one follow-up. Bindu ma'am, you spoke about a couple of changes that is implemented in the process for gold loans with regards to LTV monitoring and rollover of loans. Presuming that it would have got implemented from December or January, incrementally in January and February, are we seeing any impact, negative impact on growth because of that? Or are we seeing, you know, the AUM growing? Maybe in terms of customer volumes, because I think the customer base had declined in Q3, that can be attributable to, you know, pledges being released. But in January, February, post the implementation of, you know, the new discipline, are we seeing that customer base is, you know, further going out?
So the like for any changes, there will be resistance. So in the first few days, we have seen some impact. Now customers also adjusted to that. And I think the quarter we expect similar to our last year quarter.
Okay. Thank you. I have more questions. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushan Parikh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My question was on Asirvad Microfinance. So given that we have restarted disbursements after the RBI clearance, This would be at a lower interest rate as well, as we had alluded to previously. So wanted to get your take on what will be the refresh strategy for the subsidiary in terms of the growth that we will be pushing for, as well as from a margins and ROA perspective for this entity. That's one question. My second question is data keeping question. If you could give us the options number for the quarter for gold loan.
So, the microfinance industry was reporting a reasonable profit even when there was a cap on the net interest margin. It was 10%. It was later removed, etc., etc. What has happened is, with the removal, almost all the companies hiked the price, and thinking that some additional rules can be taken in the pricing, some 2-3% or 4%, etc., etc. So accordingly, every company has hiked the interest rate, and but actually that has led to the indiscriminate lending from all the lenders. So multiple, which was earlier, the number of lenders were restricted, that has gone up, and that has led to a situation. So because of the regulatory changes, now all the companies understand that, and it will gradually come. But this transition is definitely a little painful, because with these changes, the loans were repaid using another loan, etc. That source has come down. But now the discipline will come and things will go back to the post-liberalization environment. And even with that, with the cost of everything contained, etc., I hope the microfinance industry will go to that level where even Ashirwad was reporting around nearly 5% ROA. So with the discipline and more encouragement will be there for group meetings, etc., etc. So this transition phase for the every microfinance company will be a little difficult. So I feel like in 2-3 quarters, things will come back.
The auction number 124 is the auction amount during this quarter.
So if you could just guide on the growth for the MFI business as well going forward.
So with the what we plan to have is to contain the growth, and gradually we plan to increase our secured lending business in the overall book, consolidated book. So gold and other non-gold secured business. So in a phased manner, we plan to bring it down to within 15% now, or even it may go down gradually. So other businesses we will prioritize. We have the opportunity, and we hope we can open branches also. There will be greater emphasis in growing gold.
Understood. That's on my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Love Sharma from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Just a couple of questions from me. I think more as a follow-up on the previous question. First, on Ashirwad, if you could highlight what is the growth you are looking at on AUM side for Ashirwad in the next 1 or 2 years, and any sense of how the asset quality is likely to be likely to evolve over the next few quarters as well within Ashirwad. And another question related to Ashirwad again would be, given some of the commentary around the covenant breaches there, could you just highlight what is the discussions with lenders as of now, and any sense in terms of fresh lending or borrowing rates which have gone up for you within Ashirvad especially?
So in Ashirvad, we have tightened the underwriting process. We have capped the maximum number of lenders, that is three, and we have reduced the loan size also, cycles also at a longer period. And from one cycle to the next cycle, the increase also is reduced. So this way, we have tightened the processes. We are viewing loan only to our good customers now, who have a good track record all these years, etc. Through branches which are seen safer, etc. So this way, we expect the growth of Ashirvad, the MFI will come down to around 10 to 12% annually. I don't expect that to be more, and we expect the collection efficiency to go up to around 99% because of the tighter underwriting, and we will bring down the employee costs and the other costs by through the clearly planned cost reduction plan, which is being worked out. The employee productivity has to be improved. The branch size also, branch number also will have to be evaluated, as it comes. We are working out a strategy, and we are, as I said, in the next 2-3 years, we expect a growth of around 10 to 12% for MFI with a collection efficiency of 99%.
And could you just comment on the covenant side for the Ashirvad? Any impact on borrowing cost or fresh lending?
Rajesh?
So right now, we had some disbursements against which we could not give the assets. So we are on discussions with them. Because of this current situation of the, which we had this cease and desist impact, as well as the overall microfinance sector issues. So banks are, we are in discussion with the banks, and we are very hopeful we will get some solution for those.
And do you mean that that's essentially more about higher borrowing costs, which banks could lead to for Ashirvad, or any other impact you see?
Not much.
Okay. Thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sir, my question was on something that Bindu ma'am alluded to her answer to one of the participants, wherein she highlighted that there has been some process policy changes in line with the RBI circular. So, ma'am, just I just couldn't understand that. Do you mean to say that we will be maintaining 75% LTV throughout the loan tenure, or will be closely monitoring it for each of the customers in the gold segment? And also, you highlighted something on the auto renewal of the loan. So, if you could just explain both these aspects again, please.
Okay. So only LTV monitoring, we are strictly ensuring that at the time of disbursement, this is within 75% as permitted. And then the interest accrual will also be added, and we will monitor the LTV position. And if it is a small variation, maybe up to 5%, we will not act on those cases. Above 5%, we will start sending SMS. Then we will do at 85% a letter, 90% auction notice, etc. Like that, there will be a continuous monitoring and activities which will ensure a better discipline from the borrowers. And on the, that is one point on the LTV monitoring. And second, on the rollover of loans during the tenure within the permissible LTV, borrowers may need additional working capital, so they used to avail the loan. So during the tenure, now it should be with the cash flow coming in. So the 50% interest should be serviced during the tenure if they roll over the loan. Then after maturity, they should service 100% of the interest. So these are the few changes we made.
Got it, got it. And just one more point here. So, sir, you, as you highlighted, you met the governor recently. So was there any discussion on these, regulatory framework front, sir, wherein, they are highlighting these aspects to be covered in the processes and policies incrementally?
For the first time, we are getting such a meeting from the governor. The initiative was taken from the governor's office. And what he has said is, this will continue. This will continue region-wise. His office will take the initiative and call periodically and sector-wise. So he says, yes, he was very positive in this thing. Yes, the regulation will be successful only when they understand the regulated entities' challenges also. So how to do business, ease of business is very important. The words he used there, ease of business is important. And the challenges in each sort of business, the regulatory environment will look at it. That's why he plans to hold such meetings periodically at the national level as well as regional level and sectoral level and banks also. He said he believes in understanding the stakeholders in ensuring an effective regulation. So it's very positive. He sat with us for almost 4 hours. We had a coffee break with him. We had the opportunity to discuss. And also, there's a lunch meeting, one-to-one meeting, and every participant was given enough time to raise their concerns. This is something very positive. This is the words we heard from the RBI governor.
Got it. Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. So just one last question. So with this, like what Bindu ma'am highlighted on the process policy front, so do you see that while we want to implement that and scale and ramp it up, so do you think that can hamper or have some impact on our business momentum, at least from the medium-term perspective?
See, this is what, I put in the forum itself, open forum itself, I raised the question, when too much of regulation, this is going to benefit the unorganized sector, where the major portion of the gold loan is still ruled by them, etc., etc. So the customer's convenience and comfort in this regard has to be taken into consideration, etc., etc. So then he said, yes, our people had a discussion with you people, and we are framing a draft. So you can respond to each of these points. So then only we'll come out with a final thing. So some of the things which we were asked to implement, if these are found difficult for the as far as the customer service is concerned, I hope there may be some changes.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir, and good luck for the next quarter to the team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranuj from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. So a couple of questions. One is on the cost of funds that continues to inch up for you. So what segment is actually driving the rise over there? And also, I think 18% is ECB borrowing. So are these 100% hedged from your end?
Yeah, ECB is 100% hedge. And on the cost of borrowing, there is a small change in the bank cost of borrowing. It is 6 basis points during the quarter, overall cost of borrowing increase.
Okay, so this is essentially MCLR repricing that led to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay, got it. And second is on, if I look at your housing finance and your vehicle finance GNPA, they have risen quite substantially despite the loan book also displaying a healthy growth. So what segments are actually seeing higher stress in these two particular sub-verticals?
Samal?
Yeah, thank you for the question. We are basically catering to the bottom of the pyramid profiles. And the recent issues that we have seen in the market at the micro level and also in terms of the weather conditions, plus the other challenges that the retail profile have faced, they generally tend to get impacted the earliest. So that's one reason why we've seen this GNPA going up. But from this month, we have started seeing a positive collection, so we are definitely hopeful that things would look better from this quarter onwards.
So, sir, one follow-up. In vehicle finance in particular, there's been a very sharp rise. So within your sub-segments of PV series, what is actually driving the higher stress over here?
We have faced with higher increase in delinquencies in the two-wheeler and the farm equipment segments. But now,
okay, so,
there is improvement seen from January onwards.
Okay, so it's mainly two-wheelers and tractors that have driven
yes,
the rise.
Yeah, majorly, yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi. First, a few data-keeping questions. What were the auctions in this quarter? What was the LTV in rupees? And you gave in percentage. And what is the interest accrued? That those are data keeping questions. I'll come to the second question after this is answered. Thanks.
124 is the auction amount.
Yeah, not audible, sir. Say that again.
120 crores.
120 crores.
Yes.
Okay.
The price is taken for the average LTV of 60%. Price is 7,110 rupees.
Sir, it is not clear. Say again.
7,110.
Yeah. Okay.
On which 60% is the LTV as on 31st December. And 120 crore option. Interest receivable 1,094 crores.
Okay, sure. My next question is on Ashirvad. We've seen multiple cycles and, you know, there has been management change. There's been some degree of attrition at the branch levels. Do we really intend to build this business for the long term, or we want to sell it out after some point in time? Because clearly we've had multiple issues running this. At a point in time, there was no convergence of gold loans there. I think 4 or 5 years ago, we were doing barely 2% of the book was gold loans. Then we had management change and we started doing more of gold loans versus MFI. So what do we think of this business? Do we really want to run this in the long term, or we want to just do some bit of restructuring and sell it off? Will that make more sense?
See, we are doing the business of the for running it long term. So we will do that business with prudent practices and manage the cost also very prudently. And we will whatever is our policy with regard to risk-based, secured and unsecured lending. All these are going by our policies, which will evolve from time to time. Now, it is too premature to talk about that.
Right. Because we have been speaking about this non-gold loan book when, you know, a gold loan was not in favor. Now we are talking more of gold loan when it is in favor. So, you know, the strategy gets a bit haywire in an investor's mind. So just wanted to understand what is the clarity there.
See, gold loan, we have not said at any point of time, yeah, the gold loan is today our flavor. No, we have not told that. So what we told is, we also wanted to grow non-gold business. So non-gold also, we have repeatedly said our priority would be secured lending, like mortgage-based MSME, then vehicle finance, etc. So these will be the two segments. And earlier also, I have told our capital allocation will be limited to 10% of the net worth. So we plan to contain the MFI book within around 10%-15% of our total AUM going forward. We expect the MFI to grow at around 10%-12%, as I mentioned earlier, with our first very strict underwriting, etc. So that's the scenario we expect.
Just one last question. Given the fact that in our previous answer, it was said that we generally cater to the bottom of the pyramid in vehicle financing. So we're not getting to choose a customer. Hence, we are always doing a higher risk segment, which could be beneficial when the rates are coming down. But when the rates are hardening, again, we'll face these kind of issues, right? If you're not able to choose a customer segment, or is it a strategy to cater to the bottom of the pyramid all the time?
See, we are serving the masses through our products like affordable housing, gold loan, or commercial vehicle, where the ticket size is around 10 lakhs, etc. These are the products used by the common man.
Understood. Thanks. I'll take the few questions offline. Best of luck for ensuing quarter. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, on the Asirvad book, now, could I know over the last 9 months, how much of loans have been added to Stage 3, that is, the gross additions to Stage 3 over 9 months?
We will take up the question offline.
Okay, and do we have the PAR zero in the Asirvad book?
PAR zero is there. It is there in the presentation. Slide 25.
Stage 1.
Yeah.
Stage 1.
Stage 1 is 88.3.
So that will include up to 30 days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was looking for 1 plus DPD or PAR 0, whatever.
16.96%.
Okay.
Sorry,
9. And, sure, got it. And on the gold book, can you share the loan mix by ticket size?
Yes. Up to 1 lakh, 41.7%. 1 to 2 lakh, 22.1. 2 to 3 lakh, 11.5.
Above 3 lakh, 24.7. Okay. And just finally, sir mentioned at some point about doing away with some of the unsecured lending. So is it fair to say that apart from MFI, incrementally we are not taking up any other unsecured lending?
Absolutely. You are right.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushan Parikh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my follow-up question. My question was around the standalone asset quality. Just trying to understand the stage 3 provision coverage. We have seen that moving from 15% in 1Q to now less than 10%, while the GNPA numbers have been increasing only over the last 2-3 quarters. So just trying to understand why that is the case, and also if you could help us with the provisioning policy for the gold loans as well as the non-gold portfolio in the standalone business.
So the main business gold loan is the credit cost is negligible, and we are following Ind AS and the provisions based on the historical data. So on the gold loan business, the overall provision on the total book is around 0.4%. On the vehicle, MSME, etc., this also again based on the Ind AS working, based on historical record, and we are doing based on the segment wise. So this is for vehicle finance, it is ranging between 15 to 25 percentage, and for the MSME, it is around 27%. So all put together, secured and unsecured put together, it is 27%.
This is helpful. If you could just also give some guidance around the standalone credit cost going forward, given that we are seeing improvement in the non-gold assets quality in January.
We had the one corporate borrower default. That is the reason it has gone up. Otherwise, it would have been in the range of 0.5% or 0.6%.
Understood. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and 1. We have the next question from the line of Gaurav from Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. I hope my voice is audible.
Yeah,
thanks. So my first question is on Ashirvad Microfinance, since that seems to be one vertical which has given the maximum pain in this particular quarter, right? So in that, I think as per the last con call, the data set was given like almost 10% is in gold loan AUM and rest majority is in the microfinance only, right? Within the Ashirvad book. So if you can just give the updated number that as per Q3 FY25, what is the AUM split between MFI, gold loan and MSME within the Ashirvad Microfinance book, and correspondingly the GNPA and net NPA number for the three segments within the Ashirvad Microfinance? That is my first question.
So in slide 9, we have given the microfinance AUM split up. So the MFI book is 9,133 crore, and gold loan 818 crore, and MSME is 61.8 crore. Of which the maximum NPA coming from microfinance book is around 5.8%. Gold loan is below 200.
Okay, okay. Second question is, like there were some media articles, some talks in the online platforms also that some private equity investor is willing to take some stake in the listed entity, right? Manappuram, right? So are there any serious discussions where promoters are looking to exit, or they want to onboard some strategic investors within the listed entity, Manappuram Finance?
See, it is quite common to have discussions. But the discussions doesn't mean that we have reached anywhere.
No, sir, question or intent behind asking that question was because when you look your nearest peer within the gold finance industry, quarter on quarter, they are just growing like anything, right? And they are establishing, yes, they are the market leader, and that's what they are doing as a leader. Vis-a-vis, the performance of Manappuram doesn't seem that good. But to be very honest, right, even you will appreciate that fact, the performance is not at par what second largest player must display vis-a-vis when the number one player is displaying, right? So either there is not much interest from the management to grow the business, or things are not working in line, or there needs some fresh blood, right? Some new generation leaders within the business that they want to operate the business and take it to the height where Manappuram deserve it, right? So that was the intent. Maybe your thoughts on that line, if you would like to share, will be a great help to the investor community.
Pricing has an advantage as far as the customer is concerned. So there is a pricing difference. We are trying to gradually match that. We can't do that all of a sudden. So gradually it takes some time. Slowly. So the difference in pricing between them and us, it is getting gradually narrowed down. You can see that narrowing down going forward. Even now, you can you will see gradually. So that will help us definitely to grow at their rate. It's only a question of time. So our improvements now, whatever is the difference, it will narrow down gradually.
Sure. Last question, if you may allow me. Considering the intensity of competition, like one of the players who was again debarred by the RBI has now revived their gold loan lending operations, and some of the other NBFCs like Bajaj Finance Group, Aditya Birla Capital, right, and recently L&T Finance also acquiring some of the gold loan portfolio from one of the another NBFC, right? So how do you see the intensity going forward in couple of next quarters, right? Specifically, if we look our position at the second largest gold loan provider in the Indian NBFC space.
See, whichever sector is seen attractive, there are many players would like to enter. In the past also, there had been many attempts, but only very, very, very few could succeed in that. Because here the challenge is how to manage the risks, which are entirely different from the other NBFCs. So we need to have the branches, we need to have very skilled, highly skilled people to appraise gold, etc. These are all done physically without any technology support. So it's a highly skilled job. So aggregating everything is the challenge. How much time it will take? That was the challenge for the players who intended to start this business even 10 years back.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have no further questions. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
So thank you so much for your question. Very good question. We expect that we have answered to your satisfaction. We tried to do that, and we look forward for your cooperation and support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.